Stole My Thunder. Playwright was John Dennis. It was in 1709, the play Appius and Virginia. His thunder later stolen for performance of Macbeth.
Boy, that music's loud.
Cross the audience,
it's
Frank.
Increasingly loud.
Or I'm just irritable. I don't know.
It's both.
But
you're on your period, and I think we're all getting it.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Defensive?
No.
You're doing the high voice.
But I'm... Well, I'm not on my period, okay?
No, period.
I'm not on the rag, all right? Is that low enough for you boys? No, I'm not.
Are you close?
Rag.
Maybe you're early.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Every fight you get in with somebody, we're on a rag.
Those
God, that's just
words.
The worst. You're like, no, I'm just pissed at you.
That always makes the fight a little worse.
No,
I guarantee, I would say 90% of the time when the guy pulls out, you're on the rag. You are on the rag. Then you go, no, but you know you are, and you're not going to prove it.
But, what are we talking about? Oh, your a-hole cop stories. What is your worst experience with a cop who treated you badly? And the reason we're talking about it is because there's a story out of in the paper out of Boston about a woman who's was very, very pregnant on her way to the hospital with her husband. They were in what they call in Boston the breakdown lane, and her contractions were 3 minutes apart. And this cop made him wait while he waited, wrote a ticket for another couple, and then ended up giving them the $100 citation and didn't just say I'm sorry and escort them to the hospital. It's an a-hole cop. There are good ones. But I want to hear your ones where you dealt with
but
a
bad he is
one.
Doing his job.
He's doing his job, and actually,
they were driving on the shoulder.
The state police spokesman, David Procopio, declined to comment on the merits of the stop, but he did note that state law prohibits driving in breakdown lanes on Route 2. Yeah, but you got a pregnant woman with contractions 3 minutes apart. Do you want her to deliver this mess?
Well, you are basically, I think the thing here is you're driving on the shoulder, you got a pregnant woman in the car, you're probably speeding. Even if you're driving on the shoulder, you're probably speeding.
Yeah.
So you're putting other people at risk. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic, so you had to drive on the shoulder. What if someone, wanted to get over on the shoulder?
Or was broken down, and then you rear in them.
So you need to, call somebody else. Call an ambulance to come get you.
I probably wouldn't have even stopped if I was the husband. I'd have been like, you can follow me to the hospital and write me the ticket there, but I'm getting my wife to the hospital right now.
That's what I was thinking. At some point, choose what's worth it.
Yeah, put your lights on me.
I'll pay the penalty later.
Then you'll probably be charged with,
resisting and fleeing.
And what judge would send you to jail for that? Your Honor, here's my newborn baby. We're trying to get this sucker popped out in the world, and that's why I'm here today. Mm-hmm. Had we waited, it could have died.
But justice is blind, so you have to say, no, you broke the law. Just because you're pregnant doesn't mean you can break the law.
No, but that's what I hate.
The hell with the children.
Sometimes, let's look at the situation and let's...
That's why you have jury trials.
Yeah.
Well, 888-520-9710, there are a few bad a-hole cops out there, and you have encountered some, have you not, Susan?
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Susan.
Christmas Eve, 1992, driving home from a Christmas Eve party, about four houses away from my own home, driving my own truck. Cop flips on the lights and sirens, pulls over, pulls the guns on me, orders me out of the truck on my knees on the ground, handcuffed me, threw me in the back of their car. Ran a make, said that the truck was stolen, and I tried to convince them I was in front of my own home in my own truck. I spent about a half an hour in captivity with them before they finally cut me loose, saying they had another call, and then they left.
I got a question for you, Susan. Are you about a size 14? Are you a great big fat person?
Not even close.
Then why would you drive four houses down?
When you're going to be drinking.
When you could walk.
No. I was on my way home. I had come around the corner, and I was that close to home when they pulled me
home. Oh, I thought you said the Christmas party was four houses away from your house. I was like, why did you drive your truck?
I'm not.
Okay. Did they apologize and say sorry, or they just said, we're wrong, goodbye?
Nothing. They just said, we got another call, got to go. And they cut me loose and took off.
Yikes.
My God.
Jerry in Anaheim.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, first-time caller, you guys have an awesome show. So one day I woke up late and I was rushing to work, and I decided to take the toll road because it's a little bit faster. And I was in the rush. I forgot to put my transceiver in the window. So the cop pulls me over, and he's like, you know why I pulled you over today? And I was like, no, I have no idea. He says, you don't have a transponder. I was like, I'm sorry. So I left it in my center console. Can I get it out? And he's like, yes, but pull it out very slowly. And I was like, okay, it's kind of weird. So I showed it to him. And he's like, okay, he goes back and he's like, I tried to explain to him, hey, I'm just running a little late. I'm sorry. It's a mistake. It's still beep. But he's like, no, sorry. Da, da, da. And he goes to give me my information back with the ticket. He's like, sign here. So I was kind of upset, and I just kind of scribbled my signature down. He takes it back, and he looks at it, and he's like, sir, are you aware that you have to sign this ticket exactly as it appears on your driver's license? And I was like, wow, this guy's a total a-hole.
Well, there's, yeah, you, come on, you are guilty of that. You did an F you with that signature, and he called you on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's no F in you in your name. And he signed it F you.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
My name is Jer F and Ree, okay?
There's one getting emailed from Joey saying he was with his friends, and they went to an old cemetery to get all creeped out and have fun. I had a Star Wars toy lightsaber because we didn't have a flashlight. The cop saw us and told me to drop my weapon. He charged us with trespassing with a weapon. What a dick.
Let the police force be with you.
Watch you in jail for, kid. Well, my Star Wars lightsaber.
That's fantastic.
I have a couple Star Wars lightsabers. They are pretty cool.
You do?
You can't really hurt anyone with them.
You could.
They look beastly
they
and sound
any...
cool, but you can't ram
sound
someone
too.
Through with it.
Well, like, just like the movie?
Mine
that's
do.
Cool. Yeah. That'd be fun to play with. Get all drunk.
I don't have the plastic one that has the flashlight in it, and then the wind makes the sound.
That's what I thought you
meant. I have the real one.
Yeah.
God, what a geek.
I have that and Hitler's bookmark.
Solid gold, isn't it?
Solid gold. Yeah. Ava gave it to him.
Oh.
How much did it sell for at auction, Frank? How much did you pay for that?
$100,000.
$100,000, yeah. Hitler's bookmark.
The lightsaber was a little bit more expensive.
Oh, gosh. Well, since we are doing Christmas gifts from Stuff That's at Your House, I'd like one.
And which page of Mein Kampf is it currently marking on your bookshelf?
It's Mein Kampf.
Oh, you're right.
Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Philip Mignon. Dom Perignon.
Kampf.
I should know.
You're so white and Irish.
No, man, I'm just ignorant.
And well, there's that. I just was trying
Thanks
to be
for
rude.
Pointing it out. A friend would let it slide.
I'm not your friend.
I know.
Yeah.
Hello, Greg. A-hole cop stories.
Oh, this is one you're going to definitely like. Back in 93, my wife was 8.5 months pregnant. We had gone to the grocery store, and it had been raining while we were in the store. We get out, get back into the car. We're driving home, and she wanted to drive. And I said, fine, no problem. I'll sit in the side seat. And I noticed that a motorcycle cop had turned around and started following us, and another 15 or 20 minutes down the road, he turned on his lights, pulled us over, walked up to the driver's window, and turned to my wife and said, man, have you been drinking tonight? And she goes, no, we just went to the store. He goes, you've been weaving all over the road, and required her to get out of the car, and he did a alcohol drug test on her.
Well, she's 8 months pregnant.
8 months pregnant, so she's humongous. She couldn't do a couple of them, so then they had to, another officer showed up and had to do the breath test. In the meantime, I've got three other kids in the car who are going ballistic, going, Mommy's going to go to jail.
Oh, my God.
So an hour and a half later, after they found out that she hadn't been drinking, the officer comes back and goes, well, I cannot allow you to drive. Do you have another licensed driver in the car? And he looked at me. And so I go, yeah, I guess I can drive. And it was only two blocks more, and I never heard the end of it that night of, why didn't you just sit there and say that she could drive on the way home?
Huh. Well, okay, I'm going to side with the cops on this.
Why?
Because if they followed you guys for 15 minutes and eventually flipped the lights on, she must have really been weaving. They wouldn't have pulled you over if she wasn't
driving.
You
know how hard it is to steer with a belly?
Big belly, and
yeah.
It was raining,
well,
too.
Okay, then fine. It doesn't matter what the reason is she's weaving. She was weaving, and that's unsafe.
But to pull her out and give her a field sobriety test,
yeah,
and ask her, she's 8 months pregnant, belly as big as a barrel, and sober as a judge, I'm sure you can tell in her eyes. Oy.
Thanks, Rick.
All right.
888-520-9710. Steven in Anaheim, what's your cop story?
Hey, guys. Like your show. It's been fun listening to you. Anyway, I'll try to make this as quick as possible and no colorful metaphors. I work for the telephone company. It was a couple of months ago. The WWF shotgun bandits had pulled off a job, and because Yorba Linda is a small,
small area, they have like a, you know, a Fullerton Police Department, you know, they come in and assist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm walking down the street, you know, seeing all the helicopters and whatnot, you know, and a couple of cop cars drive by me, you know, and the first thought comes to mind is, must not have been a black guy to do it because they're not hitting me up right now. So I just went about my business.
Yeah.
So here I am, you know, we have an easement to backyards where we have our utilities. Okay, so I'm looking for some splices and stuff. You know, I knock on this one customer's front door, and nobody answers. So I, you know, hop the fence, go around, and she comes out, and a little dog comes out. She says, oh, I said, okay, fine. So I'm working. I come back over the wall, a small wall, walking towards my telephone company truck, which happens to be about, like, 25 feet in front of me. You know, and I've got this ID badge with telephone company shirt on and everything, you know, and I noticed this cop running up to me, you know, with his 9mm, you know, pointed in my direction.
Whoa.
And started to yell, get on the ground, and I went, looked around to see if somebody was behind me, didn't see anybody behind me, and now he's about like 5 feet from me. He says, I said, get on the ground. I'm looking dead down the barrel of this 9mm, and you know, and I said, you know what, hell no, I'm not getting on the ground. Here's my ID. You know, I put my ID is in his face. He can read it.
You say, I'm with a phone company. Please hold. Your arrest is very important to us.
He sees all this stuff. He says, I said, get on the ground. I said, I am not letting you humiliate me in front of all these people. You know, and then he said, get on the ground. I said, hey, I'll compromise. I'll sit on this brick wall. So at this time, you know, he kind of grabs my shoulder, right? And you ever have that feeling when somebody touches you that all you need to do is hit them once and you can knock them out?
Yeah.
You have to suffer the consequences for doing so. So then he puts his 9mm away and he breaks out his taser and he starts this stuff with, I'm going to tase you. And I said, I'm not laying on the ground. So next thing you know, a regular guy in a uniform drives up, right? And I said, okay, so now the guy in the Mickey Mouse suit, you know, who has no badge on or anything, you know, it's kind of supported. I said, okay, now I'll start doing what they tell me to do. I still didn't get on the ground. So the guy turns me around, handcuffs me, he says, you're under arrest. And he takes me to the front of my vehicle, sets me down. You know, I look at him and say, you know, I'm going to sue you, right? So he starts trying to explain to me why it was important that I listen to what I said, well, you know, you could have de-escalated the situation simply by taking your weapon and putting it down, because that's what I was pissed off about, right? So now, and if I run on, just let me know and I'll stop. But so now...
Well, too late for that. So did you get arrested? Did he beat you up?
No, I got handcuffed. And then he says, well, you know, you're arrested. Never read me my Miranda.
What,
right?
Arrested for what?
Resisting arrest.
You're black in someone's backyard. I mean, that's on the books.
Right. I didn't know that.
So now he says, I said, well, you know, ain't no problem, because as far as I was concerned, you know, I'm still on the clock. I don't care whether I'm sitting in the jail cell.
Oh, that's the American way.
Yeah.
Go economy. Yeah.
Of course, that little old lady can't make a phone call yet.
Yeah, there you go. So I said, well, you know, I just need to make a phone call to let my wife know that she's going to have to my kid. Oh, well, we really, okay, let me talk to my boss. We're going to unarrest you. Right? Well, that's awfully nice of you.
Well, Stephen, thank you. I can't take another hour.
Christ.
John, hello. What's your a-hole cop story?
Christ.
Hey, Tripp. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Well, the setting was, it was a rainy night a few months back.
Oh, God. Get to the point. You're killing me here.
It was a rainy night.
God, John. Now I got to go the whole freaking night.
The clouds were hiding.
What was the weather like?
What were you wearing?
What were you wearing? What'd you eat that morning?
Don't make John pay for another man's sins.
Sorry.
All right, so I'm driving along the freeway, and I light up a cigarette, and bear in mind, it's raining. I'm just having my cigarette out the window. The ashes are getting hit by the wind, and it's flying back. And I get pulled over, and he asked me, you know, do you know why I pulled you over? And I assumed it was speeding, because I always speed. And he said, no, you threw the cigarette out and it hit my car. And I'm looking at my cigarette. It's still between my fingers. It was still lit. And I'm just like, and I'm pointing it, I'm showing it to him. And he's like, I saw a cigarette fly out your window and it hit my car. So I ended up getting a $381 ticket for that.
Just for flicking a cherry on a cop?
Yeah, basically.
Well, wait, unless they actually produce it. They have to have the evidence. They can't just say, I saw it. It could have been a bug flying off your windshield.
Mm-hmm.
I got advice from one of my professors at my college, and they said it'd probably be just better to do it. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No one Steve waits to get.
Jeez.
Jesus Christ.
But God forbid you say something about floppy seconds and going in a bedroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
edit right away. The guy says, bull S.
I was talking to the engineers about a technical issue.
I got it for you.
Thank you.
Watch, pay attention.
That's my favorite word.
Hey, engineers, how about you don't talk to them during the show? Talk to them during
the commercial breaks. Did you want to go off the air?
At this point.
Who cares?
Really?
I'll turn you off.
You could have taken us off the air during the last call. You could take us off during the last call.
Watch the ratings spike upward. Shut us off for the next 3 hours. I can see ratings will go up.
Shut us off. We'll go home.
New strategy.
Just like that. Get arrested. You still get paid sitting in jail.
And we're working tomorrow anyway, so we can technically take today, and then we work tomorrow. And
sounds good to me.
1,001. 1,002. 1,003. 1,004. Ladies and gentlemen, Frosty, Hattie, and Frank have decided that they are going to violate their contract and not speak on the air. Therefore, we will go to commercials and come back. Thank you for your cooperation.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, look who's still here. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
And they gave us a raise.
Wow, this is bizarro world.
Yay, we can stay in our houses. We don't have to sell.
Yeah.
Well, yes, cops, good cops, bad cops. You know, I was pulled over one time. This is back when I was in the band. So I was like 19 and 20 years old. Somewhere I was, you know, late teens.
Back when your ID didn't match your name, right. Hotshot Scott.
Yes.
Well, it says here.
Scott, drive between gigs. And I drove separately from the band sometimes in my own car. And I was somewhere in the middle of godforsaken nowhere, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Now here I am, this long-haired guy. This is back, you know, in the 70s. Long-haired kid with, you know, music stuff in the back, keyboards and stuff, driving through this little dinky jerkwater back roads of Louisiana. And sure enough, I stopped. I was kind of sleepy because I had to drive from like Birmingham to Dallas. Mm-hmm. Long drive. So somewhere between there, like in Louisiana, I stopped at a parking lot of some shopping center. And I went into a little convenience store and I got me, as I recall, a pack of gum and a soda. I was going to take like a little miniature nap in the parking lot. This is late at night. No one's there. And I remember rolling the window down and I threw the gum wrapper out the window as I'm sitting in the parking lot. And I have not littered since.
Mm,
I learned my lesson.
Liar.
No, no, you eat the wrapper.
I have not littered since.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not.
All right. Hot dog bun.
Sure enough, it wasn't 5 seconds after I threw that wrapper out the window. Lights went on behind me. There happened to be a cop car I hadn't seen because it was not right behind me running my plates. They flipped the lights on. They took me down to the big house, down to the county jail for littering. And they sat me down, and the big belly sheriff sits there, typical Louisiana jerkwater town, big belly sheriff sits there with his legs crossed and his jeans halfway up to his knee and his legs showing, sitting there like a redneck, and he goes, well, I don't know how you fairies do it up in Indiana where your license says you're from, but here in Louisiana, we don't litter, boy.
At least he profiled you correctly.
I know, I was going to say, isn't that amazing how he knew?
You littered fairies.
Chewing gum.
Anyway, so fame and fine and left. But that was kind of humiliating.
Since you brought up your band, Frosty, there is a musical mystery in Hartwich, Massachusetts.
Easy for you, sir.
Who left a piano in the middle of the woods?
Same guy who left a cake out on the rain.
The Baldwin piano discovered in the woods appears to be in perfect working condition and has a matching bench as if it had recently been played.
In the woods.
And the piano was discovered last weekend by a woman walking along a path inside a conservation area at the woods. Says, please would like to answer how the piano got to such a remote location. The piano is heavy, and it took more than half a dozen men to load into a truck to remove it from the woods.
That's cool as hell,
maybe
though.
It's like an alien abduction. They abducted some piano player in Kansas and dropped it there. Were there tracks or just in the middle of the woods?
No tracks.
That's
no, I don't know.
Really
that's the
cool.
thing about tracks.
Hmm. Weird. Maybe someone filmed a video out there.
Maybe it's
a,
no, I got it. It's some kid, you know, some family of a kid who's taking piano lessons and it's god awful. Nobody can stand it. They can't stand it. The neighbors can't stand it. The only place she can practice is in the middle of nowhere. All right, little Susie, it's time to ding ding ding.
That's
ding,
a good theory.
Ding,
ding, your kid sucks so bad.
You gotta take it to the woods.
My theory is that a band member. Probably the keyboardist, piano player, thought it'd be a cool idea to take the instruments out into the woods.
Mm.
Take this picture with this natural background. It looks like, we're just, how do we get out here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they got out there and it looked too gay. And it was, since it was his idea, they said, F you, carry your own piano back, and everyone just had to leave.
Yeah, it sucks to be the piano guy. You're like, oh, great, you can just take your guitar and go.
No, it's my idea.
Yeah.
Piano.
And then we'll take a picture, and that'll be that on
like,
the album.
Like, this is stupid. I'm out of here. So the rest of the band left, then he had to finally walk home by himself.
That's plausible. Plausible. Or perhaps that's where Baldwin pianos grow. Someone stumbled on the patch of them.
Somebody
there's one
just
left.
Hadn't picked
they haven't
that
picked
way.
It yet.
Are you familiar with Baldwin?
Yeah. We used to sell them in my mom and dad's store. Baldwin, they're pretty good.
Huh.
They sound kind of like this. Very similar to that.
Hmm.
Don't all pianos sound a little
see,
similar?
I think you have to have an ear for it because it doesn't make... He can put it on setting
I think he was
a,
joking.
Yeah. I don't think he was.
Oh, when do I joke on this show?
No, he wasn't.
See, we never know. Well, I think you were.
No, I think,
were you?
I think he's serious.
Yeah, you were joking.
Yeah,
right?
That was more like a Kimball.
He's still joking.
I don't think so.
I am. Yes, that was a joke.
See, he's still joking. I got it.
I don't know anymore.
Yes. Like a needle in a haystack, but I found it.
That would look very gay, though, you stumble upon, and it's a bunch of guys out in the woods.
Yeah, they're like, this is gay. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, when you think of it, I mean, seriously, picture, you've seen music videos shot in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
If you see anyone doing a music video anywhere, it probably looks gay if you're standing there. But on the screen, when it's squished down and cropped and the music's going on and these quick cuts and editing, it probably looks good. But if you actually stood back and watched them filming a video of any kind, a music video, standing there wiggling around and playing it, it just looks
they're
gay as hell.
But I always love the, everyone's, so I can't remember which band it is right now. It might come to me, it doesn't really matter anyway. But watching CMT sometimes on Saturday morning if I'm on the elliptical and I'm watching the CMT Top 20 Countdown. And they do the music videos, and I always love the one where it's like we've got all of our instruments and we're out on some big airplane, you know, tarmac, and it's raining, and we're all playing in the rain, and it's soaking wet with rain.
Isn't that already done? Isn't that a video from the 80s?
And you got all your chords and
yeah, you'd be shocked to death if you're really doing that.
Oh, I thought you said that was your idea for a video.
No. But then, no, it shows these people playing, and it's just pouring down rain, because I guess rain is sexy, and then my shirt's all wet, and I'm a guitar, my hair's in my face, and I'm all plugged in.
Yeah, the funny video moment that I can recall from watching Friday Night Videos when I was a kid was Sting's video where he's running through. I think I mentioned this before on the show, where he's running through the candles. There's candlesticks everywhere, and Sting's running through this maze of candles.
It's all melted wax.
And he sticks out his arms at one point and knocks the candlesticks down, but they've been burning for so long that the wax burns his arms, and he's like, ah! So he goes from all like, ah, Sting, to, oh, my wrist!
He does?
Oh, yeah.
I
want to
see that.
Oh. Yeah, it's great.
Our number's 888-520-9710. Ryan?
Yes.
Hey, Ryan.
Was it a Sebring piano?
No, I don't know. Baldwin?
Well, no, I think what happened was when the helicopter scooper went to the ocean, it picked up the Sebring piano and dropped it into the woods. I think that's what happened.
Funny. Get it a Sebring.
I really don't. I'm not even going to play
is
like
that
I
piano
do.
Piano humor?
I guess it is.
Is that a type of piano?
I don't.
You don't even know that type?
I've never heard of it. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's not a good joke. Hello, Tyler. Tyler! Gone away. Gone.
We were talking about the cops pulling you over earlier when you're driving erratically. They're following you around, and they followed that one lady for 15 minutes while she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And thought she was drunk. When you see someone driving down the road erratically, or changing lanes, they're rearing over, you're behind them,
right.
And you see this going on. What do you do?
I call police.
You call the police?
I've done it twice now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're on our way one night to the Melting Pot in Pasadena, and we're on the, you know, doing the 101 to the 134, and this guy just was all over the place, and I was starting to get scared. I mean, we were far enough behind him that I wasn't worried about us getting screwed. I mean, but just, and I think he might have been racing another guy, but I didn't see the other guy, but I mean, it was just, oh, one of those where you're like, oh my God, he just almost hit that guy. I mean, just in and out, weaving. And I went, I'm done. I'm calling, you know, and I just called 911. I said, I'm on the 134, you know, Central Brand.
Did you get through?
Yeah, I did, and I said, I'm like right around Central
Brand. But how do you send somebody out?
I know, Frank, but I had to do something. I'm like, it's a red Honda Prelude, and it's, you know, the license number and all that stuff. And I'm going, it's Alex, Betty, Tim. I'm like, I'm in my police lingo talk. Yeah, Charlie, David, Willie.
Bravo.
Right.
I like you one time, the very same thing, and there's a sport, a very dangerous sport. We've mentioned this before. It has a name. I just can't recall. Cutting or whatever it's called. Where these kids who go out there and they go as fast as they can and they come up on your ass and they cut in real quick and cut back. It's like a sport to them.
Mm-hmm.
And people die when their cars get, you know, flipped and explode, like happened, I think, last year during one of these little chase things. I also tried to call 911 and I couldn't get through. I got the proverbial recording, blah, 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 blah. And the time, you know, I had 20 minutes later, I was ready to take my exit. So I thought, well, what's the point of making that call? But what I usually do, Frank, if I see a car weaving like there's a drunk or something that's really about to kill him and everyone around.
Yeah, what do you do?
I lose him. I'll pass
him.
Exit. I'll pass.
So you'll drive faster than them?
To get them behind me. I want to put
but
them.
But now you're driving erratically.
No, but you don't want
just
them.
Just for a few seconds. I'll lose them. I don't want them in front of me. They might slam the brakes on and I crash them.
No.
They need to be way back in the distance.
You want them in front of you.
No. What if they're. No.
Yeah, you do. Just like cops.
What if
you
start speeding up? What are you going to do?
Well, in that case, I go a little faster.
No. In front of me is good, just like cops. In front of me, good. Behind me, not
well,
so good.
Well, I'm not saying I keep them in my rear view mirror. I say I lose them. I get the hell out of there.
I can't even picture that.
I've done it before,
drive.
And I'll do it again.
Drive like somebody's grandmother.
That's the one time I go over 50. Anyway, that's what I do.
This guy in San Antonio, he rammed his truck into a woman's vehicle on a highway while going more than 100 miles per hour because God told him she needed to be taken off the road because she was driving erratically.
Uh-huh.
Nope. Yeah, the truck rear-ended the car, going over 100. See? Behind you, Frosty.
Not good.
E.
Can you imagine getting rammed in the ass at 100 miles an hour?
Because God told somebody to do it.
Now, both vehicles spun across the median, then came to a stop along a barrier in the opposite lanes. Both drivers suffered only minor injuries. Now, he just said, God said that he was... that she wasn't driving right, and she needed to be taken off the road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the sheriff's spokesman said God must have been with them, because any other time, the severity of this crash, it would have been fatal.
Yeah,
they only had minor injuries.
That doesn't mean, 100 miles.
Oh, I've just got to suggest this. Look, I think the guy's an idiot for running his car into her. That's stupid. And
couldn't find alcohol or drugs, so he wasn't drunk. God told him.
He was drunk on Jesus.
Well, what if he did? Think like X-Files for a second, outside the box. If the cars didn't explode in a fireball like they should have, who knows what was about to happen. Maybe that lady was about to hit a bus full of nuns and amputee orphan children a mile down the road. Who knows why? Maybe she's going to turn into a farmer's market and take out 40 people. And you had to get her off the road. Now, you, sir, your job. Now, take her out.
Here's the mistake people make. We all have thoughts. But just because my voice in my head is going... oh, I wonder what time am I gonna get up tomorrow and what time am I going to... That's not God talking to me. That's myself talking to me.
Well, what if the voice in my head sounds like Morgan Freeman?
There you go.
Well,
don't argue with that.
Maybe. It's hard
then
to argue with Morgan
Freeman.
Maybe
you'd be confused that you think that's God, because most of the time he's God.
But
movies.
I think most of the time people just, if they have a thought or they hear their own voice in their head saying, you should just take that girl off the road. Well, realize that that's just yourself having that irrational thought.
This is what I think is irrational, that... you can worship, believe in, attend service every Sunday to somebody that you never see,
right,
and you never talk to, and you never hear,
mm-hmm,
and you're considered sane. But the minute you hear that person, you're crazy.
Well, that's one way to
look at it. Is that rational?
That's deep, man.
But you can do so much effort and work for this person that doesn't exist, that you never hear from, you never heard the voice, but you're sane until you hear them. When you actually have proof that the person exists, that you've been worshiping this whole time,
and believing
now you're a nut job.
Right,
but before that, you're fine just, you know, doing what, giving 10% of your salary every Sunday to some wacky guy who tells you Bible stories.
It is crazy. I've thought that too, Frank. And because in the Catholic religion, I don't know about others. But
I think you're more wacky if you don't hear his voice and you still go every Sunday.
I think so too. In the Catholic,
you hear it, maybe you're not. Maybe you're okay.
We believe in the second coming. We believe that. I only say we, I don't necessarily believe this. But that Jesus is going to come back one day, walk the earth again, right? Is the Baptist believe that too, Frost?
No, he's not going to walk the earth again. Isn't that when everyone dies and everyone goes to heaven or hell?
Armageddon, that's the...
But he will return one day. So when somebody does claim to be, why are we all believers going, oh, what a whack job, what a nutball, he's claiming he's Jesus.
Because it says to look out for false David Koresh-like
but
prophets.
But when he really
Jim
does,
Jones,
how do you know who's false?
Exactly.
Well, if Jim Jones says, drink the punch and die and kill 600 people in a steamy jungle, I think that's probably not Jesus.
But what if they're up in heaven right now laughing?
Well, that would kind of suck in, wouldn't it?
Jesus did some pretty wacky stuff when he was around. It's like, all right, everybody, I only have one fish. Watch.
He was a magician.
Abracadabra.
I told
Look,
you about that cup they
fish.
Found, that old coffee cup. Back in the day, it said Jesus the magician, like they got it at the...
at one of his shows.
Yeah, one of his shows, the gift stand outside.
Yeah,
you get a Jesus the magician coffee cup.
Yeah.
There are lots of Jesuses back there.
No,
it was like John today. Very,
walk on
very
water.
Famous, very popular day.
If you watch Chris Angel, he does this thing where he walks on water.
You believe that crap, though. You're gullible. You're like, my God, it's Jesus.
No, I don't think he's Jesus. But
you know how he does the walk on water thing. It's in videos all the time. There's a piece of... Well, you know how they do it.
No,
there's glass right under the surface.
See, look, she's believing it.
No.
Idiot.
No, I know he can't walk on water. I know
it's a
trick.
It's a very easy trick.
I know it's an optical illusion, but when then he's walking on the water and then he sinks through, and he's swimming around the same area. He's got other people swimming in the pool.
Well,
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, you've seen the floating lady in the magic show and the hoops go around her and show there's no strings?
Right.
It's not magic. It's a trick.
But do you watch that show, that secret magician or whatever it is, where he debunks the...
No.
You don't see that?
No, I'm not sure I want to because I want to be fascinated.
He wears a mask to protect his own identity, and then he shows you how tricks are done.
Oh, that
sucks.
When is this
on?
Why would he do that? Why is he ruining it?
It's been on for forever.
Oh,
seems like a couple seasons.
I don't want to see that. Then you can't enjoy the trick anymore.
Oh, I still can.
It ruins the magic. It sucks all the enjoyment out of watching a magic show if you know how they're doing it.
So if you ever did really meet Jesus, you'd be disappointed. So it sucks the magic out of the magic show every Sunday.
I want to enjoy.
That's why you see a guy on the street who thinks he says he's Jesus. You're like, no, you're not.
Right.
That's ruining my magic show.
Because in my brain, you're so much more.
Well, you remember the show Joan of Arcadia that only lasted two seasons, so it was a brilliant show.
Because you were the only person watching it.
Well, this is true. But you
cannot keep a show afloat.
In that show, for those very, very few
can't
of you
keep
who
hope
call the
afloat.
Show. God would appear as these, it might be a little old lady behind the lunch line, it might be the guy working your electric line up on the pole, it might be a janitor, it might be a homless guy sitting in the park. You know, the old, what was it, Sheryl Crow song?
Why would be God, inanimate but, stuff?
Joan
like,
Osborne.
It's a, bottle of ketchup.
Right.
I don't think he's ever
ketchup. Hey, Joan. My God, the ketchup's talking.
The little label's moving like it's got little label lips.
That would have been season 3.
Whoa!
This phone right here?
Yeah.
When I got my phone number the other day on the air, I got some
Frank.
Messages, some calls.
Why did you actually give your...
I didn't think anyone would actually get it. Hello?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm on the air.
Is it God?
That was my number that you got. This is really Frank. Yeah.
Is it God?
You're probably hearing this right now. I'm listening to the radio. And thanks a lot. All right.
Oh,
so they're
God.
Just calling to see if that's really your number. And obviously it is because
that's
you're
funny.
There talking.
I couldn't believe that.
So you gave
that.
Your real number on the air.
No,
I did. That's why Heidi was laughing so hard.
I was laughing so hard.
You call me.
Because I kind of just joking. I just went, well, don't, call me. And I go, 818.
And I gave the rest.
And he goes, 2.
I do that again.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't do that.
Well, people are going to podcast it now and pull it back up. You got to change your number.
No, that's fine.
That could be fun.
I don't care. You want to call me? Call me.
Oh.
I don't care.
No, but here's what happens.
I'm kind of annoying.
And here's what
happens. 24 hours
one night I'm out
I'm not
somewhere.
Not that popular.
I'm out somewhere.
11 people called.
And my phone rings, and I'm like, didn't recognize the number, and I was like, hello, and they're like, oh my God, that's so funny. And I hear craziness in the background, like, we're here with Frank. He gave us your numbers. We're calling. I'm like, okay. And they're like, oh, that's so cool. What's going on? I like you faster. I know you were drunk. Like, let's call Heidi. What?
Whatever made you think I was drunk?
He's giving listeners my number.
Well, that's fine. This morning I get a call from a delivery guy. I've ordered some from soundproofing for my home studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually here. It's on the dock. The truck was calling to get directions and to set up a time to deliver because I had to be there. But no, the reason I mention this is that's not the whole story. Yeah, what do you think about that?
Is it even part of the story?
Yes, it's very relevant.
Hey, there's my phone again. Hello? Hello? Yeah, people are like, hey, it really is him!
Now
hung
you're
up.
Now you're
can't hear
pranked.
Them anyway.
Mm. Oh, look at that.
Anyway, so the guy calls, and so I'm talking to
him. Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted your story with the fact that you couldn't hear that person on the other end of my phone.
Yeah. Neither one.
What time's the guy delivering your soundproofing again?
Point going around your head? He recognized my voice. And he goes, oh, I know who you are. You're the guy on the radio. I go, yeah. He goes, well, let's see what you're having delivered. And he said, I go, well, what if it was something embarrassing? What if it was a pallet full of God knows what? Thank God it wasn't, but what if it was?
Maybe he thought you were Charlie Tuna.
So now the phone's going to just start going crazy. That's funny. Oh,
hello?
You're a dodo.
Frank, turn the phone off. We can't hear
you're
you.
You're just
people.
Jealous people are calling me. Let me give out your phone number on the air. Get that thing blowing up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny if no one called?
It's just dead silent.
Yeah.
We sit here for the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Oh my God.
FM Talk.
This is 97.1 FM Talk. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
It's good to know if you're driving on the freeway or really anywhere and you happen to reach down to grab something off the floor or passenger seat and you swerve over into the other lane a little bit, maybe cross a line here, go over the shoulder there. That Heidi's going to call the cops on you.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
She is freaked out. Oh, my God. I'm going to call the cops.
No, yes. They were racing,
No,
Frank.
That's what Charles thinks. He's like, Heidi, you are such a narc.
No.
If I ever see you out with the Italian, I'm going to report you for public indecency. Not because you're gay, but because of your looks.
Yeah, I'm ugly. No. I'm a live and let live kind of person, but this was crazy.
You called the cops twice. That's not live and let live.
Well, the other time, it was on the 5 freeway, and there was some more same sort of nonsense. But, I mean, serious, like, racing where I'd let it go a little bit. But this was almost, I mean, hands to mouth going, oh, Jesus. And, you know, I had friends in the car, and they were like, that guy's going to kill somebody tonight. And it was scary. And it wasn't about us. I mean, he was ahead of us. But just watch it exit after exit after exit. And just those times where you're like, close call. Oh,
but what
God.
If you did hear that voice in your head, and it was God, and it said, you know what, that guy needs to be taken off the road. I want you to ram their car because they're going to basically kill somebody. So would you take... This is God, Heidi. You hear the voice in your head. It's not the normal Heidi voice. It's going, oh, my God, I had cancer. It's God's voice. It's a different voice completely.
Yeah.
It's what you think God would sound like.
I would have myself committed. I would have whoever's driving, please take me to the nearest
hospital. Heidi, this is God. Take that driver off the road now.
God, I thought you'd sound more like Morgan Freeman.
You'd say, if only I'd taken Sanskrit in junior college. I'd know what he was saying.
Jesus. How do you know I didn't?
Question. God told me to punch you.
I did the right thing by calling the cops on cars who were flirting with death for themselves and other people. But admit it now. Admit it.
I don't think so.
President.
Message.
Would you be less inclined to call on a drunk driver because probably everyone in this room and probably everyone on the show has probably gotten behind the wheel when you shouldn't have and you have a little sympathy for the poor bastard?
Oh, believe me, there are times where I didn't call the police and should have.
But you'd probably be less inclined to call on a drunk driver.
Yourself.
Well, that and the time that the guy, I was driving home, it was very, very, either look at it late at night or very early in the morning, and I was coming home, and it was when the Italian and I first started seeing each other, and I'd fallen asleep, and I woke up, and I was like, I gotta get home. And on my way home, I see a guy who's run into, it was like a paper box, and a tree that was like a newer kind of tree that had the metal around it to protect it from being hit by cars or whatever, plowed right in there, and I was like, well, he looks like he's probably okay.
He's moving.
Because I didn't want to call the police.
On yourself.
Like, well, and they'd be like, oh, I just saw something. I got to stay because they, ma'am, could you stay on the scene? We need a witness. I just went, I'm going home. He looks fine.
See, that would suck. Think about this. Let's say you leave a happy hour, a restaurant, and you had one beer or one wine or one shot, not anything close to being inebriated, but it's on your breath and there's a little trace in your blood.
Uh-huh.
Now, on the way home, some really plastered guy runs into you and the cops show up.
Yeah.
Guess what?
I know.
You're going to be charged.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your fault.
That's why I'm definitely not going to bring it on to myself.
Here's Charles with a theory about the piano in the woods.
Oh, back to that.
Says that Frosty needed a place to play where Wade could sing along while laying on top of the piano naked.
Oh, like the fabulous...
Somewhere remote.
Oh, that's not funny. It's not.
Is that where you guys practiced your song before the big birthday bash?
No.
No one will find us here.
There was no
practice. Look into my eyes when we sing this part.
I ache
strike you. Oh, you're mixing up the...
Would you sing with me? I didn't pay for your album.
Anyone who saw the performance or heard it realizes there was no practicing beforehand at all. It was very sloppy.
I just know the story about a car being reckless, but this guy happens to be drunk. Yeah, God didn't tell him to ram somebody. Mm-hmm. Alcohol did. And it was a worker at a restaurant. This guy walks into the bar, wants another beer, but he's completely intoxicated when he walks into the bar. It's a bar restaurant. And so they said, no, you can't have anything. They escort the guy out, the manager and I think one of the bar workers. They get the guy out front, put him in his truck.
Oh, in his truck?
And he circles the parking lot three times because he's pissed off, can't get a beer. And then he gets aiming towards the front of the establishment.
Uh-oh.
But about 45 feet away, they say, and he starts revving his engine.
Vroom. Oh, God.
Vroom. Vroom. Actually, I probably got one of those here. What am I doing? Mm. I'm wasting my...
It's more fun to watch your lips do that, though. It's like old-time radio, Frank, where you got to make all the sounds yourself.
Here we go. And he starts going right towards the bar.
Yeah?
And the bar manager and the bar guy are standing right there in front of the bar. What do they do?
Well, I would move.
You think you probably could jump out of the way. 45 feet away, guy hits the gas, pickup truck.
Yeah.
How fast is he going to get to the bar without you jumping? Guy didn't jump. One guy did. One guy didn't.
You mean he thought he was going to be playing chicken, the guy was going to hit the brakes last minute?
And, yeah, the guy didn't.
Oh.
The guy was smashed.
Oh, like against a wall?
Yeah. There's going so fast, the damage, I mean, the cinder block wall of the establishment was busted through, or busted in.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was pinned in between the car and the wall.
Yeah.
Ugh. Smashing.
Human bumper.
That'd be the worst way to go. He's smashing. Dead. Doesn't make any... Crushing.
Yeah. Well,
it's his own stupid fault. He didn't get out of the way.
Yeah, jump.
If you die, it's not a bad way to go.
Really, I think Frosty could even get out of the way.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll be quite spry if there's a car coming at me. And if I have a few seconds to get out of the way and I don't, and I stand there because I'm too proud to move, I almost deserve to be hit.
Yeah, 45 feet. I mean, that's some time.
The drunk guy who didn't get his beer and got pissed and drove his truck into the bar, he is from Ecuador and has been living illegally in the United States for the past 5 to 6 years, and he did not have a valid driver's license.
Oh. Did he expect to get the beer after that? You think he expected him to come like, okay, now that you've killed this guy and ruined the bar, sure, here, have a beer.
Yeah, well, let's make you happy.
Sure, okay, you convinced us. Yeah, you're not too drunk to drive.
No problem.
Here. Yeah, this convinces us right here.
So now do we house him or do we go, Ecuador, take your scumbag back?
He'll just come back again.
That's a long walk, though.
You know, because he doesn't have a car or a license, you know. You are a busy man
today.
Another
message.
Everyone knows Frank's number.
You got to save these numbers in case you ever need them.
I have more booze news real quick, Frosty.
Oh,
I guess they tested this. An exposure during adolescence to moderate doses of alcohol in a binge-like fashion does, in fact, produce tolerance to high doses of alcohol later in life.
Really?
Yeah. The alcohol a person might ingest when they're between the ages of 12 and 20, even a moderate dose, can alter brain and liver function and produce alcohol tolerance when the person is older.
It's funny. It's like getting
a bad thing.
It's like a vaccination almost. Like if I get the vaccination.
This is why the Europeans aren't as drunk as the Americans, because they start drinking young in moderation and it prepares their body for the rest of their life. So they can have a couple, three drinks and not be
wasted. Medicine. It's medicine.
Researchers simulated low-dose binge drinking in adolescent animal models once a month with blood alcohol content reaching between 0.05 and 0.09.
Wait, they had to get animals drunk?
Rats, lab rats. The lab rats researchers at Baylor University named Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Shut up!
Did they listen?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Baylor. Yeah, there's
a collegiate. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Mm-mm.
No, I don't either. I think it's fine. Well, in moderation.
We should all build up a tolerance to alcohol.
Mm, well, it's for your own good.
And your little girl, 11, 12?
Gotta get her some tolerance.
Give her a shot.
Don't want her to be taken advantage of.
Tell her it's a vaccination.
I want her to win some tequila drinking contests.
I'll watch her for the weekend. You want me to introduce her to booze?
Oh, God.
They'll take care of that for you.
Just like her daddy. Course extra gold.
Yeah, I educate all those framers.
Course extra gold. Blindfold you.
We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
97.1 FM Talk.